You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Millions of U.S. office workers have now stretched into their sixth month of the world's largest work-from-home experiment. Before the pandemic started, just 4% of Americans worked from home. Once the pandemic kicked in, that number jumped to 34%. Bay Area business leaders are announcing that remote work is here to stay. Facebook, Twitter, Slack all have announced more permanent plans for some or all of their staff to work remotely. But really, is this the new normal? According to Jennifer Chapman, yes, the new reality is here to stay, and it actually may be good for us. Jennifer is a professor of management at the Berkeley Haas School of Business and co-director of their culture initiative. She's been observing how work has changed in 2020 and says organizations are going through fundamental changes that are making work a better experience for humans and the planet. A lot of us are working from home right now. We do not see each other. You know, that kind of walking by the kitchen and saying, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? That interpersonal connection is not there. How does this kind of moment affect an organization's culture?
Many organizations, at least in the shorter run, and I would still consider the, even though it feels endless, like we've been at home forever and, you know, it's Groundhog Day every day. This really isn't that long of a period of time in kind of organizational life. The culture has been built up over, you know, many, many interactions, many situations, you know, many months, many years. And so in that way, there is some kind of inertia and continuity that can carry organizations. Now, that said, it's not going to last forever, and the culture can erode, and the culture can also become ill-suited to the way people are working right now and the objectives that they're pursuing in an organization right now. And so I think it's a really important time for particularly leaders to invest in cultivating their cultures. And, you know, thinking about what they need to do differently given the physical distance that we're experiencing and which is likely to persist for, you know, at least the course of the pandemic and possibly longer for those organizations that are choosing to maintain, you know, remote working.
You mentioned, companies that may be just starting or recruiting or even launching at this time when people are remote. What kind of things can they do to create a culture? Like, how can you create a culture remotely?
Yeah, well, I mean, even though our remote technological tools are not the same as face-to-face interaction, right? Face-to-face interaction has so much more interpersonal, you know, wealth to it in terms of, you know, behavioral cues and nonverbals and all of that stuff. But the technological communication tools are not terrible either, right? The fact that we have video and, you know, that people can interact in ways where they see another person's surroundings and have a kind of contextual understanding of where the person is in kind of time and space. Those are really helpful kinds of tools. And so one very, very basic thing is to ensure that people use the richest forms of technological communication. So even if, you know, you would prefer not to turn your video on because you're actually in your pajamas or you just came back from a run or whatever, it's much more valuable for the interpersonal exchange and for learning from one another that you have sort of the visual cues as well. And so that's a kind of really basic level. But I think the other piece of this has to do with being really explicit about your culture, which is to say that you don't just presume that people are going to pick it up. You actually help, say, new hires by saying things like, hey, you know, in our organization, we actually really care a lot about each other. And so we always spend a few minutes at the beginning of a meeting finding out how everybody's doing. And so, you know, you should expect that that's what's going to happen. And you want to be ready to share some experience that you've had or certainly ask others about what's happening. Now, that would probably not be something that you would tell people in a face-to-face world, because you'd expect that they'd just be able to pick it up. But I think what we are seeing is that organizations that are being more explicit about their culture are actually having a better time kind of maintaining, clarity around what they want.
Right. And that kind of leads me into my next question about a presentation you gave back in 2015 about workplace culture. And you said recruitment is one of the most powerful tools to impact workplace culture. So I'm wondering, how does recruitment and the interview process change in this remote work environment? What are the pros and cons of conducting interviews via Zoom, like we're talking right now?
Well, I actually think that the recruiting process is okay over Zoom, because I think you really want to know about a person's sort of thought process and the kinds of experiences that they've had. So one of the things that I think is going to be really valuable for a long time now is that people who join organizations be viewed as, you know, agents of cultural change. I believe that all organizations are going to have to make reasonably significant adjustments to adapt to the different ways that we're going to be working for, I think, a long time. And so I think the key to selecting people in this time period is really thinking through what are the valuable attributes that you want to bring into an organization. And I can't help but believing that one of those is kind of courage and agility, a kind of orientation toward adaptability. We just wrote an article in the Harvard Business Review, and my co-author, Francesca Gino, calls folks like this rebels, which I think is a really interesting idea. Looking for people who are comfortable with disruption and change and trying things and failing and leaving them behind and trying something new. Because I actually think that we're in a big period of experimentation right now, not just in organizations, but kind of societally as well. I think that there are two big things that have happened in the U.S. This year. One is obviously the pandemic, and the other is the call to rectify racial injustice at a kind of intensity that I think we have seen occasionally in our history, but seems to be really at a high level of salience right now. And those are big kind of exogenous shocks, external shocks on organizations that are really causing many organizations to rethink what they stand for, you know, what they're trying to do, who they want as part of their organization, and, you know, what the circumstances are that they're going to work in. So I think all of those factors lead to a real need for people who can, you know, think on their feet and show grace under fire. I mean, these are really challenging times here in California. You know, not only do we have a pandemic, not only are we highly concerned about racial injustice, but now, you know, we're on fire, right? Like, how much more can people take? And I think it's a time where you really want to look for people who, you know, have the ability to graciously try new things and make things happen. If that's the case, then it's going to be less important that that we convey the existing culture, and more important, that we, you know, bring people in with the idea that together we're going to construct a culture that's going to allow us to cope with, leverage, take advantage of, you know, all of the changes that we're going through right now. And so I think any organization that is not thinking about adapting really is going to have trouble, because it's, things are not going to be the same as they were before.
If you had your researcher academic crystal ball in front of you, where do you see us if this continues to go on like this, where more and more companies are just staying online? How will culture evolve, let's say, 5-10 years from now? What will it look like to work?
Wow. I mean, I haven't really thought about it in the 5 to 10 year range. Super interesting question. So let me start by trying.
What, you don't have a crystal ball, Professor? You don't have a crystal ball in front of you, right in front of you?
No, but I'm always happy to speculate. This is part of the job. So let me try to answer that in more concrete terms first, and then let's talk about the sort of longer time horizon with respect to culture. So some of the building blocks of organizational life, I think, are going to change permanently. I do think that many organizations, which had been reluctant to kind of allow remote work, have really come around to seeing that this is a good thing. Certainly here in California, anyone who's driven on Highway 80 almost any time of day or night knows that that is a very you know, unpleasant experience. The traffic is intense. It's stressful. And so the idea...
Or the 101.
Yeah, hello. Or the 101. Pick your... Or the 5, right? You can pick your freeway. Mm-hmm. And it's just not collectively a good use of you know, the human experience, the human time frame. And so the idea that we give people more flexibility, and have found that for many of the things that people do at work, they can actually do it flexibly on their own time, you know, in their own sort of physical space. And that works better, I think, than many organizations thought it would. I know of a number of Silicon Valley firms in particular that really held on to the idea that we have to be together, we have to, you know, interact on a very regular basis in person for us to get our work done. And they've been pleasantly surprised to find that that's not the case. But there are still some tasks, some aspects of work that really are going to be more effectively conducted face-to-face in person. And I think one of the things that organizations are going to get much better at is diagnosing the times when people need to be together and the times when it's less important. And that's great because I think what it means is that then we can redesign our physical space around those collaborative times when it's going to be really beneficial to get together. And we're going to bring in, you know, architects who can help us create collaborative space that's conducive to getting things done as a group. We can bring in all of our, you know, practices we know from social psychology about how to run effective groups. And I just think that we're going to get much more deliberate in thinking about when it really pays off to have people come together. But it's not going to be all the time. And I think that for people, for human beings, and for the planet, that is not a bad outcome. People were probably traveling too much, right? I have people who've told me, and I am guilty of the same thing, of, you know, having a one-hour meeting in London and actually getting on a plane at SFO and traveling to Heathrow and having a meeting.
For a one-hour meeting?
For a one-hour meeting. I mean, you should ask.
Wow.
You should ask people, what is the longest trip you've taken for the shortest meeting? And people will have amazing stories for you. And, you know, both from the idea of the toll that it takes on, you know, our bodies and our mental states and our families, but even more than that, the toll that it takes on our planet, I think, is very problematic. And so, you know, like many things, the gifts that we've been given of flight and travel, we probably have overextended. And you could even get even, you know, you could get more dark about this and even say, you know, pandemics have spread in part because we're like too mobile as a world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I actually think that the traffic and the stress of commuting and the sort of hypermobility and intense orientation toward travel has kind of overshot the mark. And my hope is that this period of time will help organizations to be much more deliberate in thinking about, when do you actually need to go to London? You know, when do you actually need to be there in person? And how can we make that a meaningful experience?
And in that way, you kind of did answer the 5-year and 10-year question. That sounds like it's not going away anytime soon. We're not going back.
Right. And so I think that, you know, from a broad cultural perspective, I think that this means less commuting, probably less travel for work, because it's expensive in all kinds of ways. I think it means more real estate vacancies, because I think organizations won't need as much permanent space. I think that space is going to be more temporary. And more geared towards supporting collaborative kinds of efforts rather than individual offices that are only used by a single person who's there sometimes and not there a lot of the time. I think those are some big trends that are going to emerge as a result of our discovery that there are some real advantages of remote work and being more deliberate about when we need to be together and when we don't.
Jennifer Chapman is a professor of management at the Berkeley Haas School of Business and co-director of their Culture Initiative. That interview was produced by Victor Tense. And you can hear more of my conversation with her at kelw.org.